Okay, yes, sir.
I got a question, kind of on a question, on Acts 2:34.
Acts 2:34. Yes, I will. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And that kind of backs up my question a little bit, but when Paul says you're absent from the body, you're in the presence of the Lord, what about the time limit there? Are we talking about everybody that deceased is asleep till the resurrection? And then the resurrected then, everybody is asleep once they die? That nobody is right now in the presence of the Lord that's deceased and they're just asleep? And then somebody's been dead for 600 years will be just like that from the time they pass on to the time they wake up in the resurrection. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I'm trying to see what that's in verse 34.
So David did not ascend up into heaven, but he saved himself. The Lord said unto him, sit down on my right.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, I got you. All right.
Is there a time limit between death and the time that you're...
Well, you have asked probably the most, I'm not going to say hard to answer, but hard to believe, definitely the most interesting question that could ever be asked about the Bible. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
10 years, I had to come over and ask you.
Well, you know what? Call me next time, okay? No. You know, I'm just kidding with you. That is a great question, and I'm going to answer it to the best of my ability. It's going to take me a little while. You're going to have to hang with me here.
It seems like once you pass on, if you pass on a long time ago, by the time you're with the Lord, it ain't going to seem no time at all.
You're on track. You're a sharp kid. You got it. Good. Yeah, you got it. In fact, we ought to just give you an honorary membership to this church tonight because you asked such a good question. But anyway. Okay, now here's the deal. His question is, when you die, he said pass on. I like that. I don't like to die. I don't mind passing on, but I don't want to die. When you die, and you die today, the Bible says, absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Now, his question is there a time element between when you die and when you get there? Because the Bible gives the indication that when you die, somebody that's dead is asleep. Jehovah's Witnesses teach a soul sleep, which most Baptists repute and throw out the window. I've learned this. I've learned that every heresy in the world has an element of truth in it. So I know that Rutherford just didn't wake up one morning and say, soul sleep, I got it. No. There's a basic element of truth in everything that's said. I'll tell you this. I learned this. I learned that any time Jesus said, you know, we say things trivial. We say things trivial. I mean, we do. I mean, that's the human nature. We say things trivial. You know, somebody will say, how are you? You'll say, well, I'm fine. Somebody will say, well, you look nice. And inside is saying, you don't look very nice, but I'm just being nice. You look nice. You know, we say trivial things. We all do. That's human nature. You look very nice, by the way.
Thank you.
You do too. Bottom line is this. Listen to me, children. Jesus never says anything trivial. Never. We say things in life as filler because we don't know what to say. He never uses filler. He has a doctrinal point behind everything he says. Case in point, there's a dead girl in the New Testament. They're all standing around him. He comes in. They say to him, I'm paraphrasing, she's dead, or she died. He says, she's not dead, she sleepeth. And the Bible says, the Holy Spirit of God took time to record this. The Bible says, they laughed him to scorn. Every time he says something, it means something. It means something. Death is likened to sleep. Now, I don't profess to have all the answers that I'm on this subject, but I'm going to get you awful close. I don't know all the answers. I never died. But I can come through that Bible and I can see it put together in such a fashion that there has to be some common denominator in death. First of all, for a Christian, now we're talking about Christians. We'll talk about unsaved people dying in a second. Well, if we deal with this, I'll walk you through that. Now, we can't really use Old Testament people, because Old Testament people didn't go to heaven. They're in hell. Don't let that scare you. Hell in the Old Testament has two compartments. One of them, I want to get theology on you, make it real easy. A good hell and a bad hell. One's called Abraham's bosom. The other one is called hell. But they're both in the same compartment. Remember Lazarus and the rich man in Luke chapter 16? He looks across into the good hell and says, and talks back and forth. One of them is in Abraham's bosom called paradise, place of joy and bliss. Now, you say, was he asleep in there? I don't know. I know the rich man's yelling over to Abraham, but Abraham ain't yelling back. Maybe he is. I don't know. I can't speak to that exactly. I know it's different in the Old Testament because they're in one place. And I know in the New Testament, after the resurrection, we don't go to Abraham's bosom anymore. Captivity is led captive out, and they're gone. They're up in heaven. But now people die in the New Testament. Bible says, absent the body, be present with the Lord. Okay? So what happens to a guy, and please, if there's somebody here that's got a great grandmother or father, my dad died when I was a kid, and, he's in heaven. And I know that it gets an emotional thing sometimes, and people have actually gotten angry when I've taught this because they think their grandmother, they want to believe their grandmother is up there, look down in heaven saying, go get him, Johnny, and all that stuff. And I don't want to take away from that. If you need that in life, that's fine. I'm not making fun of it, and I'm certainly not belittling it. I'm just saying, there comes a time when you have to deal with Bible facts. The standard Baptist teaching is this: when you die, you go to heaven. What do? Well, we ain't really thought that through yet. What do you do? Well, you get a set of wings, gold or silver. You get a set of wings, you get a harp, you float on in clouds. I don't want to speak reverently, but if there's got to be more to heaven than this, what do? Somebody says, well, they stand around, they're groaning and praise the Lord. What do you mean, praise the Lord? He's not king yet. That happens in the millennium. That happens in eternity. Doesn't happen now. He's not been crowned king. I mean, he's the Savior. He's right now, he's sitting at the right hand of God. He's interceding. What do you do? See, it poses all kinds of problems here. Somebody says, well, I got a man. My grandma's up there in a mansion. I've heard of my grandma. She died. She's up there in that mansion. Wait a minute. That's in New Jerusalem. That doesn't come down to Revelation chapter 21. Were they pitching tents? What are they doing? I mean, what's the deal? Okay? Has to be something that evens this whole thing out. And he hit right on it. She sleepeth, she said. Now, let's talk about sleep for a moment. Excuse me. The bottom line is this. Now, when you sleep, say I go to bed at 7 o'clock. You go to bed at 10 o'clock. You're a little younger. You're in a partying crowd. You go to bed at 12. Marion, you're studying. You go to bed at 3. We all set our alarm clocks for 9. I've slept the longest. You slept the next to the longest. You slept the next to the longest. He slept the shortest. But when the alarm clock goes off, you ever notice how when you go to sleep and it's just like a night, it's like that. It's gone. I mean, it's no... I mean, nobody ever slept. When I wake, there's times that I woke up every hour on the hour, looked at the clock, and I'm thinking, this is a long night, you know. Da, da, da. But that's an exception. Normally, when you go to sleep, you close your eyes, and 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours goes just like that. And it's like, poof, I mean, what happened to the night? It's, you're gone. You sleep. It's like this. I'm up, and it's it. But in the time from point A and point B, 10 hours have passed. But it just seems like a second. But I went to bed at 7. You went at what time?
10.
You went at midnight, and he went at 3. We all went to bed at different times. We all get up at the same time. And yet every one of us would say, could not say, if you didn't know when you went to bed and when you woke up, you could, none of us could say how long we slept, and it wouldn't feel any different between us. Death has to be something like that. Death has to be something that when you die, you close your eyes and you're dead, but you're sleeping. And whether you died in 1500, 1900, 1800, 2003, it would be like going to bed at 7 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock. You close your eyes in death, death has no sting. Sleep has no sting. Unless you roll over on your curlers at night while you're sleeping. But it's sweet. It's peaceful. Death is sweet and peaceful. So you close your eyes, you're dying. You close your eyes and you die, and then you wake up at the second coming of Christ. You got to remember now. You got to remember. Now here's where it gets a little sticky, and I'm not sure. When you die, your soul leaves. The moment your soul leaves, and maybe I don't know. This is where I don't know. This could go a couple of different ways here. So I mean, I don't know. But I know this: once I die, my soul steps out of this body. Once my soul, the very second I'm dead, my soul steps out. Now I have a body just like this body inside this body. That's my soul. It steps out the moment I breathe my last, and the moment I am dead, my soul is no longer bound by time. Now it's in eternity. So actually, there is no time. I didn't die any time. You didn't die any time. I didn't go to sleep at any time. Guy says, my great-grandpa died in 1700. No. In 1700, he stepped into eternity, and there's no time beyond that. Now, how do I explain that to you? I don't know how to explain that to you, but I know this. It's like sleeping. When my soul steps out of this realm of this body, the moment I'm dead, I'm in a world where there is no time. 1,000 years could have went by, and it's just like a second. In fact, the Bible says 1,000 years is one day with the Lord. Now, you take that thing and break it down, 1,000 years, it brings it, your life at 60 years is just a short couple of minutes. So when you die, and it's, you step out into eternity, and there is nothing there, you're in a situation where time has no more meaning to you. So if you die in 1700, 1800, 1900, just like going to sleep at different times, you wake up in the morning being the second coming of the Christ or the rapture of the church, whatever it may be, well, you don't know how long you've slept, and you've stepped out and returned where there is no time. So there doesn't have to be this going to heaven, holding hands, singing kumbaya around the throne. It's a thing where you die here, you step out of eternity, and there is no time, and that time is gone, and whatever time you stepped out, you all wake up at the same time, and it's the time to come back in the rapture of the church or the second coming of Christ. Now that, in some form or fashion, has to be death, because he likened it to sleep. My model is sleep. How do I sleep? What are the traits of sleep? How can I go to bed and not, if I don't have an alarm clock and I went to bed, I wouldn't know when I went to bed and when I get up. And if I fell asleep an hour before you, 2 hours before you, we didn't have an alarm clock, we both worn up at the same time, we couldn't tell when we fell asleep, how long we slept, or what time it is when we got up. You know why? Because that time you're sleeping, listen to me, that time you're sleeping is the closest time your body in this life ever comes to eternity. It is the closest you ever get to eternity in a human form while you're still breathing, and it's when you sleep. That's why the last thing you ought to do before you go to bed is put the Word of God into your heart. That's why we look at it as our day starting in the morning to the evening. But in Genesis, God says the evening and the morning were the first day. He's telling you the evening and the morning were the second day. It isn't the morning and the evening. It is the evening and the morning with the third. There's something about going to sleep at night, and there's something about nighttime that God built our bodies that we go all day long. We do. You know what? Every day, I'm telling you, every day is a model picture of your life. You get up in the morning, and you go through day, you do your job, you do all kinds of tasks, you go all over the city, all over the nation, all over the world, da-da-da-da-da, you do all kinds of things, good things, bad things, things for God, things for yourselves, and at the end of your day, you come home, you wind down, you get tired, and you die. And then in the morning, the sun comes up, type of the Lord Jesus Christ, you resurrect, and you have another example of life and death the next day. Every day of your life you have that. Now you stop and you preach a sermon just on that. I mean, you get up this morning, just take your life today as a Christian. What did you do today that an unsaved man couldn't have done? What did you do today that an atheist couldn't have done? And you go through this life and this day of going through this whole process, and then you come home tonight, you're going to go to bed, you're going to die. Spiritually speaking, you're going to go into that la-la land, and you're going to get as close as you get it to eternity in this mortal body, and that 8 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, 10 hours is going to zip just like that. You're going to wake up in the morning, start all over again. You wake up when the sun comes up. You wake up in the morning, type of the rapture, type of the second coming. So when God built your bodies and built the human life and built the human things around us and the natural things, don't forget what he says. The invisible things in Romans, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen and understood. How? By the things that were made. Even his eternal power and Godhead. So you have an example there of dying and resurrecting every day. So death. And I don't understand it all. I don't even profess to have all the answers. But I do know this. I know that when he said, she sleepeth, and they laughing to scorn, they missed a great spiritual truth. And I know this. I know that somebody that dies in the Bible is likened to sleeping. And they awake in the morning when the sun, Malachi chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes up. And the day star arises in our hearts. Day star is Christ. That's a picture. That's a picture. So I don't understand it all, but that's what you're dealing with. And that is a great question. And that's a question that is never going to be fully answered on this side of eternity. Simply because it is too deep, too depth. But boy, you can get close to it. And you just stop and think of your own life and all that you go through and sleeping at night and how quickly it goes by. And all of those things are models in a physical sense of something that's a spiritual thing that God does. And that's where you're at with it.